Isaiah 39 this evening. So we've been tracking through the story of Hezekiah. Chapter 36, 37, we saw that miraculous intervention of the Lord. Remember when the city was besieged by Sennacherib and his people, and how Hezekiah just turned it over to God, and God said, I will fight this battle, and sent down an angel who destroyed the army. 165,000 people killed in one night, and the army departed. And then last week in verse chapter 38, we saw that God then sent Isaiah to Hezekiah to say he was going to die, and he just came to the Lord and cried out to God, and God said, I'll give you 15 more years in response to his prayer. It would be great if this had a happy ending, but Hezekiah wasn't perfect, and so we're going to learn from his life more this evening in chapter 39. It says, at that time, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, shall be carried to Babylon, nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. So I've entitled the message, My Treasures. My Treasures. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd give us your wisdom and presence and guidance as we look into your word this evening. As we conclude this story of Hezekiah, Lord, may we just learn from his life things that would help us to be more effective Christians for you. And so, Lord, we give you this service, pray be glorified in it and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you probably noticed that Hezekiah made a couple of mistakes. The first mistake was to basically show these rulers from Babylon everything in his treasury. But that wasn't the biggest mistake. The biggest mistake was forgetting whose stuff it was. And that's why I took my title from that little phrase, My Treasures. So looking back at verse 4, this is Hezekiah speaking. Isaiah first, he said, what have they seen in thine house? Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. This is the same Hezekiah that acknowledged that he had not the strength to fight that battle, and that he needed God's intercession and God's help, and God worked a miracle. This is the same Hezekiah that God said, set your house in order, you're about to die, and he cried unto God, and God gave him 15 years. But God really blessed him in those 15 years. And in the midst of those blessings, he lost sight of the fact that it all came from God. And you see, that's one of our tendencies, isn't it, as sinners, is when things are really going good, when God is really blessing, if we're not careful, we'll forget why things are so good and where the blessings come from, and why we have what we have, and we'll start thinking that it's ours instead of his. If you go to Deuteronomy 8, I want to show you an example where God actually warned Israel about this very thing, and it came to pass. Now, here in Deuteronomy, this is the book that was written just prior to Israel going into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. And the Lord is warning Israel about what could happen when things get good, because so far they've been in the desert for 40 years. and they're about to go into the promised land. They're about to fight some battles. But notice what God warned them about here in Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest, when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. It's no wonder we need constant trials in our lives. Because if our lives were always mountaintop experiences, if it was always wonderful, if things were always a blessing, this is what would happen. We would take it for granted, and we'd forget God. Which is exactly what happened to Hezekiah. He began to take it for granted and began to believe that they were his treasures instead of God's. Why? Because things were going good. And we all have this tendency, if we're not careful, to take God's blessings for granted. Now let's look at another passage in 2 Chronicles, this time chapter 32. Now this is one of the parallel passages of this same story of Hezekiah. And I want you to see that this arrival of these ambassadors from Babylon was no mistake. It was actually part of God's plan. Unfortunately, Hezekiah failed the test. You say, you mean it was a test? Well, let's see what it says. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 31. It says, howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. So the Bible says that God sent these ambassadors to try Hezekiah. In what way? Well, why did they even come? They wanted to inquire of the wonder. They had heard the stories of the Sennacherib's army being decimated by an angel. They wanted to come and see Hezekiah for themselves. They wanted to come and see Israel for themselves. And what did Hezekiah do but say, look at my treasures, instead of God has been so good to us. Look what God has given us. Look at the blessings of the Lord. He lost sight. And what was it, a test? Yep, it sure was. Now let's contrast that with David's attitude in 1 Chronicles. Turn over there, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. What happened here in 1 Chronicles 29 is David was told by the prophet that he wasn't allowed to build the temple of the Lord because he was a man of war, but that his son Solomon would build the temple of God. The first beautiful temple of God built by Solomon here in 1 Chronicles 29. And so David was allowed of God to raise the money to build the temple. And then Solomon actually built the temple. And notice David's attitude, because what happened was something that doesn't happen very often. They had an offering and there was too much. They had to turn some away. Happened another time also, back when the tabernacle was first erected in the desert at the end of the book of Exodus. They took an offering to build the tabernacle of the gold and the purple and the silver and all that. And eventually the people in charge said, whoa, stop. Tell the people there's too much. We don't need any more. But anyway, notice what David said, 1 Chronicles 29:14. Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Now that's the right attitude. When this offering exceeded what they needed, David said, Lord, you're the one that should get the glory because it's all yours. Yes, these people gave willingly and they gave so much, but it's all yours anyway. But Hezekiah, unfortunately, had lost sight of that and referred to them as my treasures. Selfishness. But it went further. Now remember, if you go back to Isaiah, look at chapter 38. Remember, last week we were reminded that God gave Hezekiah 15 years. extra because he said, Hezekiah, set your house in order, you're about to die. Well, God gave him 15 extra years in answer to his prayer. We saw there 38:5. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord God, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Now when Hezekiah died, his son Manasseh took over. And when he took over, he was 12. So do the math. He was born after Hezekiah should have already been dead, if he hadn't been given the extra 15 years, which must mean that he had no children, no sons. When God said, set your house in order, you're about to die, he gave him 15 extra years. And then when he died, Manasseh was only 12 when he took over the kingdom. Now let's look at something about Manasseh in 2 Kings chapter 21. And it's actually very sad, this passage. Because Hezekiah was given these extra 15 years. You would think that he would take those 15 years and glorify God and raise up his son to love God and want to obey the very God that had miraculously rescued him from the siege of Sennacherib. But look at 2 Kings 21, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 45 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. This was the beginning of the end, if you will, for Judah. What happened eventually? Nebuchadnezzar came and took them away. Who was the new king of who? Babylon. The same country of whom the ambassadors came, that Hezekiah said, look at all we have. God said, all that you just showed them, it's all going to get carried away to Babylon. How sad. And it happened. Because he lost sight of whose it was. Because he lost sight of what was important, which is putting God first. And didn't even raise his son to love God. His son Manasseh, as we read there, he was evil. And he even went after the abominations of the heathen. And so, what a sad story. But to cap it off, is, did you notice what he said down in verse 8 of our passage? Of course, Hezekiah came to him and said in verse 6, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. You think that should break Hezekiah's heart? You would think. Everything that you have, all of these beautiful things that are in the treasury, it's all going to get taken away. Verse 7. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, they shall take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Think that should break his heart? Look at his response. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. My treasure, my days. You talk about becoming self-centered. He said, well, okay, Babylon's going to carry all this away and destroy Jerusalem. Oh, that's too bad. And they're going to take away my sons. And they're going to be captives. Oh, that's too bad. Hey, at least it's going to happen after I die. No remorse, no repentance, no sadness. I'm just thankful it's not going to be in my days. And he says it even differently. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 20, again, this parallel passage, look over in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 19, where, again, we see that Hezekiah lost the plot. The same Hezekiah that got to see God come down and work an amazing miracle in rescuing Jerusalem from the siege, an amazing miracle in giving him 15 extra years of life and then a son, instead of glorifying God and giving God all the glory and all the praise. He said, they're my treasures. And at least none of this stuff's going to happen in my days. Look at 2 Kings chapter 20, then verse 19. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Is that not good that it's not going to happen while I'm alive? Instead, he should have been falling on his face, brokenhearted, like we see with Moses and David saying, oh Lord, please change your mind. Please, I repent. No, he said, that's good. It's not going to be in my days. So what happened? Things got good. That's what happened. And if we're not careful, good times can hinder our Christian walk. It's sad, but it's true. That when the blessings are being poured on and everything seems to be going great, that's a lot of times when we're right where the devil wants us. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to think, you know, as it says in 1 Corinthians, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? We're not careful, we'll start glorying in what we've accomplished rather than what God's accomplished. We'll start being thankful for what we have instead of what God has. And we'll lose sight of what's important, which is God first. Now, if you go to Proverbs 30, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, learned this lesson himself. And notice what he said. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8. Of course, at the time, Solomon would have been one of the richest men literally on earth when this was written. Proverbs 30, verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. What's he saying? Just give me enough to keep me going. Look what he says in verse 9. Lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So it's like the Old Testament equivalent of the Apostle Paul saying, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I've learned to be abased and I've learned to abound, Paul said. He said, in either case, that's where God wants me. Solomon said, I don't want to be too full. I don't want to be so blessed that I forget God. Which is exactly what happened to Hezekiah. God poured out the blessings upon him after this miracle, after answering the prayer about him losing his life early to health issues. And how did he respond? He lost sight and got self-centered. Jesus told a parable about this, if you want to turn over to Luke chapter 12. A New Testament parable to help us be reminded that it's not about the externals. It's not about the stuff. It's about God. Look at Luke chapter 12, if you would, starting in verse 16. He says, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? You know, the whole problem in the entire thing is his attitude. Look at verse 17, the end of the verse. My fruits. Verse 18, my barns, my fruits, my goods. Verse 19, and I will say to my soul. You see the common word there? My. Now think about the book of Isaiah chapter 14 where we read about the devil. I will be like the Most High God. I will ascend above the heights, above the stars of heaven. I this, I this, I this. The same thing happened to Hezekiah. Look at all these treasures. Look at my treasures. Look at all these amazing things that have happened. Look at my wonderful kingdom that God has given us. Look, we're at peace. Everything's great. Jerusalem's wonderful. Israel's happy. Look at all of this that I've done. Nebuchadnezzar learned that same lesson, didn't he? So what can we learn from this? These little eight verses in Isaiah chapter 39. I guess we can learn why God doesn't make most of us rich. You know, we often sit and dream, you know, if I just had $1 million, just think what I would do with it. I would do this and this and this. So why didn't God give it to us? So we can do all those. Because He knows we're self-centered. And He knows that we would spoil ourselves. That we can't handle it. And that's why most Christians aren't rich. Because we'd be like Hezekiah. And we'd lose sight. And we'd get spoiled. And we'd forget God. God says in the Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. It's easy to forget that when we have a lot of silver and a lot of gold. It's all God's. Everything's God's. And we can learn from Hezekiah's life to never allow the devil to, you know, we often think about maybe going off the rails when we're in the midst of a hard trial or getting upset with God or getting angry. But how often do we think about, well, what could happen when things are really good? That's when the devil comes along and says, look what you did. Look what you accomplished. Look how wonderful of a Christian you are, that God would bless you with all this stuff. Look at all your amazing things that you have. That's right where the devil wants us. And look what happened to Hezekiah. What a sad way to end the story. This wonderful story, these miraculous things that God did in his life, ends in heartache. And yet, look at his attitude. At least there'll be peace and truth in my days. I get to die and not have to worry about it. Yeah, my sons are all going to get carried away captive and become a eunuch in Babylon. And yeah, they're going to rip down the temple and raise Jerusalem to the ground and carry everybody away captive. But hey, at least it's after I'm dead. What an attitude. He lost sight. And if we're not careful, we can too. So remember, how often do we say, God is good all the time? And we usually say that because we're in the middle of a trial, right? God is good even when things are good. And let's not forget it. Things are good because God is good. And it's the goodness of God that should lead us to repentance. And be careful not to lose sight of that in the midst of the blessings. That it's all about Him. Amen? That they aren't my treasures. They're His treasures. Let's pray.